In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Choosing a life partner.
Yesterday, we were discussing components of the Christian being and the belief system and the development of the conscience, the Damir, and mixed marriages. Could I ask you a question now, just to be sure that you understood yesterday? What was that? Are we corruptible or incorruptible beings? All of you are sure of that? Ya Bakhti, I'm so happy. The answer is we are incorruptible beings. The seed of corruption is the sin, according to 1 Corinthians 15. The seed of corruption is the sin. But yesterday we talked about showering, correct? The crystal. Showering away repentance. And there is no sin without forgiveness except the one without repentance. Right. God, when He created Adam, did He create him corruptible or incorruptible? What is the proof for that? The prayer of reconciliation of St. Peter's liturgy with Uli, what did he say? God the great and the eternal who formed man in incorruption. God created Adam incorruptible. And of course, the nature of the new Adam, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, which is given to us, we are incorruptible beings. I'm talking about a spiritual level. I'm not talking about putrefaction of the flesh, gangrene of a leg. I'm talking about incorruption of the being. Another question. If you really understood yesterday the components of the being which is formed of soma, spirit and soul, do you think Jesus Christ, when He became in flesh like us, if He has body, human spirit and human soul? Was He a full man? Yes, He was a full man. What really happened on the cross when He died? We believe that His divinity did not part from His humanity. Not a second or a twinkle of an eye. So what happened on the cross? Jesus, did He really die on the cross? Yes. I hear you well, but I don't know. Okay, so did He really die as a human being? He died, correct? So, His soul and spirit were united with His divinity. And His body was united with divinity. They took the body with the divinity to the tomb, to the grave. And His spirit and soul, human spirit and human soul, united with the divinity, they went down to Hades to liberate the captives from Adam till His coming, from the captivity of Satan. And He took them in a triumphant march into the paradise. And they opened the gates of paradise for the first time, heavenly paradise, and he let them in. Then his soul and spirit united with the divinity. He came down and united with his body, which was radiant with the divinity. So now, a whole man united with the divinity, and he arose from the dead. Do you understand what I said now? So, his human part, the body, the spirit, and the soul, never, never departed from the divinity. Divinity and humanity are united into one. It's one of our doctrines, and based on those components of human being, which I described yesterday. We are incorruptible because we don't die. Even that body will stay for some time in the grave till the last horn, and then the trumpet will sound, and the second coming, and then the bodies will change, take a spiritual body and join the soul and the spirit which are waiting in paradise, and will be living after death. After the day of judgment, will go, those in paradise will go into the kingdom, and those in Hades will go into hell. Could anyone from those in Hades change his way and go to the kingdom? And you know, from the paradise go his way and go to hell? No, is our belief. There are four places. Two, Hades and paradise, the places for waiting till the day of judgment, which will come, the second coming, and then everybody will be judged according to his or her deeds. So it is declaration, announcement of the results of our earthly life. Of course, the result is known. Once I leave from here, it's known. But the result of that test will be announced in front of everybody. Come, O blessed of my Father, come and go to kingdom. So, as you find it in Matthew 25, starting verse 31. Today, I'm going with you into a topic. Some of you will see, oh, I already did that. But you will find some benefit either for yourself or for your children. I will start. Do you think every one of us must have a mission and a philosophy for his life? Yes. So what could be our mission while we are living on earth? Better to be eternal life, and you take with you as many as you can to enjoy with you eternity, for eternal life. The kingdom, heavenly kingdom. So this is a mission for us while we are here on earth, to invite as many as we can together to the bosom of Jesus Christ, as many as we can. This is the real servant who gathers into the bosom of Christ. Because if you don't gather, you scatter, as I've mentioned. If you are with me or against me, you gather into my bosom or you scatter my beloved ones away. So, my mission is to hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ so he could help me and protect me and reach eternity. And with me, my children, my neighbors, as much as I can. We invite them openly. Then what could be my philosophy? choose any philosophy you like. For me, life is Christ, or for me to live is Christ. And this is gain, because it's not death, just departure from one place to a better one. Or someone would say, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, that is far better. A philosophy, which will, the mission and the philosophy will govern all your roles in life. My role, second point you have in the handout, I am a husband, I am a father, a brother, I could be a son, a servant, career, a doctor, teacher, whatever I will be. These are my different roles. For each role, there are certain goals. As a husband, I want my unity with my wife to continue to the last moment of my life here on earth through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to gain her and she wants to gain me to live in Christ and with Christ till we reach eternity. And up there, we'll know one another. There is no husband and wife in the body, in the flesh. But we'll know another, yes, she was my wife down there. And she says, you were my husband. Now we are all one in Christ. All of us brothers and sisters in Christ, one in Christ. We'll know one another. And we support one another. So the goal is to support through the philosophy and will apply the mission to reach the kingdom. Now what's my role as a father or a mother? The same as it's certain goals, the goals of the role, which is a father or a mother, is not going to contradict with the philosophy or the mission. Working as a medical doctor, working or serving as a servant in the church, or being a brother, or a sister, or a son, or a daughter, my goals must go hand in hand with the philosophy and the mission. We have to understand what's my mission. I'm not being haphazard in my life. I must have a mission. Everybody could set his mission. Some of his mission is to get as many degrees as he wants. And his mission is to be very rich, not gold. His mission. Poor, those things. Now, I will go to one of the items which actually needs some discussion. And it might, you might enjoy contemplating about it. What is good for me? Marriage or monastic life? And so many go to the Father's confession asking that. And they went to St. John Chrysostom and asked him, which is better? Which is better, marriage or monastic life? He said to them, both you take a great risk. In both, very risky life, whether marriage or monastic life. But those married people who are living righteous lives might be better than the monastics. It's exactly the statement we mentioned. As I told you, marriage is a great mystery. And the same, to live celibate, you are devoting yourself, consecrating yourself to Jesus Christ. Do you regard marriage a consecration to Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Big yes. Not only yes. Consecration means you devote yourself to live righteous. to live in Christ in a great mystery. This is a consecration. And one day we wanted in Ecumenical Council of Nicaea to prevent all the married priests from praying the liturgy. Because you are married, we wanted only those celibate priests to pray the liturgy. Would you imagine that? In the 4th century. But the move was defeated. And fortunate enough, by one of our abbots, an Egyptian monk, and he said, no, it's a great mystery according to the Bible. Why to prevent them? They are not less pure. Marriage is thoroughly pure. And of course, all of us don't deserve to pray the liturgy and offer the lamb, but the Ecumenical Council agreed in that time that married priests could pray. And you know, the priests, the Catholic priests, all of them must be celibate. And we are seeing the catastrophe and the death which is happening, which happened in the United States. So, if the idea of monastic life will come to my mind, that's the best idea. And I think so many of us, when we were teenagers, visiting and having retreats in the monasteries, we felt that this is the best kind of life. I'll be so living like an angel of God. Then, why not? I will mention to you just one statement. If the idea of marriage is in your mind and you are trying to see which is better for you, marriage or monastic life, then you are not for monastic life. Repeat again. If you think, what is better for me, marriage or monastic life? And you ask Abuna, which is better for me, Abuna, marriage or monastic life? Then you are for marriage and not for monastic life. Why? Because those who were called to monastic life, that question don't pass their mind. They don't think of it. They cannot, from the beginning of their life, cannot consider the idea of marriage. Not because it's bad, not because it is less pure, not because it's unholy. No, but they feel that they are for monastic life. They want to marry Jesus Christ only. And continue. Those who marry, they marry Jesus Christ, as I mentioned yesterday, and then also marry somebody, another spouse, and the three will be one. They don't want to take the burden of taking care of a spouse. They want to be only a bride for the only groom and live eternally as angels and bride for the groom. So, if the family will tell them, why not to marry? He will not brag and say, no, marriage is bad. No, marriage is so good. And all the good monks and fathers of the monastery say, marriage is a good, is a big, is a great mystery. But not for us. We can't imagine ourselves married. Although it is a great mystery. But we prefer. It's a choice. So if you are divided between marriage or monastic life, forget about monastic life. And these days, if you want to be a monk or a nun, better to be ready. before going to live in the monastery or in the nunnery, be ready to live a life of a nun or a monk in your home. Because you want to accept people who are ready more than before. There are quite few fathers now in the monasteries now who teach you from A to Z. You can't join yourself to one of the fathers, abbots, to learn from him as before. We ask you if you were well trained to be with Christ and you have your canon, qanunak al-ruh, your spiritual schedule, which looks like the monks, you are welcome. And you remember that patriarch, I can't remember his name, which was raised by a good mother, and his spiritual schedule is to recite the 150 psalms every day more than one time, and he went to St. Anthony Monastery, the Red Sea, and he found them the schedule, the qanun, the monks, they are not reciting as many as he is reciting. And then he returned to his mother, he left the monastery, and he didn't talk, no, they are less than what I am doing. What his mother did to him, she slapped him on his face. And he told them, it's not your business. Don't bother yourself by a schedule of others. Go on your own. You are marrying Jesus and your inner life is joined to him, and it's your own life. Why to bother about others? Why you compare yourself to others? So both of them are two great roads to the heavenly kingdom. But according to Matthew 19 verse 12, it is only for the chosen, not anyone. You know the eunuch who were born eunuchs from their mother's womb, and eunuchs who made eunuchs by people, and those who made eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. The third group, the last one I have mentioned, are the monks and nuns. And Jesus said, not everybody can do that. So what is the plan for humanity? Marriage. The plan which was devised by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Garden of Eden, is marriage. If you are those chosen ones who were called to live as celibate, monk or nun, then your father of confession must know that about you all your life. Not to go and love a girl, or a girl will love a young man, and then they have a broken heart, then they become depressed, and say, oh, let us go to the monastery, to be a monk or a nun. This is not monastic life. Oh, okay, I feel I want to go to be a monk, so I could be a bishop. This is not monastic life. The motive is wrong. The motive is to die. To die from the whole world and to live only with your groom, Jesus Christ, in a cell closed on you. And you don't depart the walls of the monastery till you depart to heaven. This is monastic life, which I know. And sometimes we might cry because we were contemplating one day that to be monks or nuns. And the monks and nuns would tell us, don't cry when you come here because you might be living a life better than our life. And God is using you in the world. This was sufficient for that area now. Now, what are the main motives for marriage? Three main positive motives. three positive motives. Number one, unity. Number two, procreation or having a family. Number three, purity. To live in self-control, to live holy and pure. Do you mean within marriage or marital life is holy and pure? Yes. Unity is described by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, where He said, leave your father and mother and be joined to your wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Unity. And not anymore two, but one. It's so clear. And as mentioned by John Chrysostom, 1 + 1 = 1. 1 + 1 = 1, not two. It will be one in Christ. Procreation means having children or having a family. It's one because the Lord Himself said, He blessed them and He told them, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1. It's an order, the first commandment given to humanity. So how about if we would not have children? We can't get children. Are we going still to be united? I'm asking you. Even if we don't have children, or we can't get children, number one motive, which is unity, is going on? Yes. And if we'll have, say, two or three children, and we don't want to get more children, could we continue our sexual life? Yes. Could we be united as a motive, as a goal of marriage, holy unity, without getting children? Yes. And this question was asked to John Chrysostom, ask him, and if there is no children, or if there is no child, unity is still going on, because he is the one who united the two in the mystery of matrimony. How many children? It depends on how many do you want. Somebody wants 6 children, good for him or for her. Not according to financial ability, but the effort and time spent with the children. So we have to be realistic, because we receive children from God, and we have to raise them in God as members of the army of the saints. It is a responsibility. And as I mentioned, first time, and then we release them at a certain age to live with God, with their values and principles, which we have taken from the family. Procreation. Those who are unable to get children, are they, in the eyes of the church, in a less rank than those who have children? Of course not. How about if we will decide that we want to stay brother and sister after a certain number of years, up to both of you and the direction of the Father of Confession, because it's a clear verse, which I'm going to discuss with you later on in later presentation. Don't deprive one another without a consent and for a certain time. 1 Corinthians 7:5, I'll describe it. Lest you will be tempted by Satan for the lack of your self-control. The third is purity. Unity, procreation, and purity. Purity, if you can't control yourself, better to marry, because marriage is better than burning with passion. 1 Corinthians 7:9. Please know these references, please. The holy marriage holy matrimonial relationship is better than to burn with passion. تزوج أصلح من التحرك. And if you can't keep an appropriate life with your virgin, better to marry. Same chapter, verse 36. These are the three main motives. Now I move with you how to choose a partner, how to choose if I have a choice, the gift of God to me. Could I go and choose? So someone will go and his family will parade for him 12 girls and go choosing that one, compare one by one and choose. Or now there are many what they call it on the internet, e-harmony or something like that. I think there's a website which was started by one Coptic Orthodox in Texas. Matchmaking website. You could send your resume there with your picture. And they will find for you through the computer the best choice. And so many young children, 9 and 10, are hiding their identity and getting into these websites as a joke. How could I know that that person whom I'm going to join my life to is the gift of God to me? He or she is he or she the gift of God to me? And if I am married already, then God bless that marriage. I will hear the criteria I am going to mention now and will try to get better. Because I told you the five commitments which I mentioned yesterday. Commitment number five, I commit myself to change in order to pursue a godly life. If there is a need for me to change in certain habits or character, I will do my best to change in order to live godly or pursue more godly life. There are four keys and 10 criteria, at least 10 criteria. The four keys in that process are, number one, the presence of a father of confession or a spiritual guide which will guide me into that process. It's a lengthy process, starting by courtship, then the engagement, then the marriage. You must be advised and guided by a father of confession, well experienced in these matters. And he will give you exercises and prayer and fasting, whatever. Key number two, whatever he thinks is reasonable for you. And key number two, when I read the Bible or fast or pray, and I feel so comfortable about the idea of joining myself to her or him. Do I rush into the decision? No. I will go and tell my father. Maybe it's just an impression. So I have to go and tell my father. After I prayed that kind of prayer and I read that chapter of the Bible, I feel so comfortable about joining myself. And Abuna will analyze that and discern it by the Holy Spirit in him whether it's the real, something real from God or just an impression. If I put in my mind from the beginning, through infatuation, that girl, that young man will be mine. Then I go as a routine to father of confession or parents, but I'm determined. Then what kind of comfort you will feel after prayer. If you are determined already, you go to pray and you don't know whether she or he is really the gift of God for you or not. And God will guide your father of compassion to tell you, "But I have a mind." Yes, wait, is the criteria. Number three, and this number three, I always, when I say it, I will be faced by some voices saying, "No, no, no." But I'm still saying it. Parental blessing. Don't marry against the blessing of your parents. Postpone it. But you have the blessing, must have the blessing of the two sets of parents. Because if they are not accepting and blessing this matrimonial relationship, you will have a hard time in your marital life. Abuna, father of compassion, could help with your parents. If he has the message clear to in his heart that he or she is a good person to convince the parent. But if your parents are insisting, "No, no, no, please, from experience, postpone for some time, till God will convince them." Please, please, please postpone it. I'm not saying cancel it, just postpone it till the blessing will come. Because practically speaking, you can't marry against their own will. And there will be events in which the two families are going to meet. And you can't go all the way against them. You can't disown them because of marriage. And why? It might be a sign from God that one of the sets of parents or the two are not accepting. Just wait for some time. Postpone the decision. The last one, last key, circumstantial evidences. If you find obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, doors are closing and closing and closing, postpone the decision. If the doors are opening one after another, everything getting easier, easier, acceptance from everybody, blessing from everybody, then say yes, God wants it to be. These are keys. Then I'll go for the criteria. Criteria, I have put this criteria so easy in a way you could calculate it, especially for those who are perfectionists. The perfectionist mind, if he or she will find something, a small thing, which is not good, the whole field of his vision becomes dark and black. Because he will zoom on this defect. So it's good for them to go by that process. Criteria. And I will give each criterion a certain percentage in the decision. The decision is based on 100%. How much percentage? If you get 70 or more, then the gift of God to you, he or she is. And nobody could take over 90%, unheard of. Now, the first criterion, your spiritual life, or your Christ-centered life. It doesn't mean that you come to the church every day. It doesn't mean only that you are a deacon or a servant. It doesn't mean only that you read the Bible and pray and fast every day even. It doesn't mean that you take the communion every week. It doesn't mean only that. It means something more. What is it? What is it that your life is centered around Christ? Your ideas, your thoughts, your words which come out of your mouth, your behaviors, your feelings is Christ-centered. I'm not saying that being a servant is bad. I want to be clear, a deacon is bad. I'm not saying that if you read the Bible every day and pray every day and fast and take communion and confess this is bad. I'm saying not enough. And you will know when you go into that process, you will know what I mean. My thoughts in an interaction, you will find it godly. My Christ will tell me, this idea is wrong, don't say it. It has to be deleted from your mind. That feeling towards that person is not right. That word is not right. So if you go in courtship with someone, and you find his eyes or his senses and his body, his behaviors, his thoughts or his feelings or his touches are not holy, then he's not Christ-centered. Even if he's the best deacon who chants the best alhamd in the church. No. The best servant is not in his home, not in the church, in his real life. So many coming out of the church, serving, going to nightclub, clubbing, drinking, although they are taking drugs. Of course, they are not the common, but be careful. So many are involved in pornography. Be careful. Christ-centered life means you are trying for your thoughts, your mind, your heart, your body, your senses to be Christ-centered. Now, if you are Christ-centered, how much you are Christ-centered, we give that criterion 50% of the decision. 50%. If you will find someone maybe is not take communion every week, he has a father confession, he goes to maybe once a month or more, but you sit with him or with her, you find them so decent, gentle, and their thoughts, their words, their behaviors are godly, you will feel comfortable. Continue with them for some time. I don't want anybody to deceive anybody. So for some time you felt that this person, he or she, is really Christ-centered. He could take up to 45%. It doesn't mean that he's a saint with a halo around his head. No. But he's trying that his thoughts and his word, his mouth and his fear, his behavior to be godly. He's watching over himself. Okay. Other criteria. From now, criteria number 2, criteria number 10, they are not in priorities. You prioritize them. Put them in the sequence you like. But from number 2 to number 10, it takes 50%. The remaining 50% of the decision. So number 2 is the family. Could his family mix with my family? Are they going to understand one another? Could be joined together in an event? Both of them, they have shared at least philosophy or ideas or mission in life. If you have a very godly family, so involved in the mission to go to eternity, and the other family are not, what do you expect if the two families will gather together? One will talk about the stock market, another will talk about Saint Mina or Virgin Mary. And yeah, or that one wants to talk about the life of Virgin Mary and her intercession in his life, he will stop. But for some time we listened to the stock market, and we sat in the stock market, and the mortgage is going up and down, the interest is going up, and then we'll be fed up, because it's not his area. At least something shared could be mixed together, and the way the father and mother treat and deal with the one I'm going to join their life to. And he or she respecting their parents, and his or her interaction with other siblings. Could I go and visit his or her family before engagement? Yes. Why not? See them in the church. Meet with them in the church or trips, and you could visit their home once or twice before you have an engagement certificate. Because you want, if the engagement is there, it will end into marriage. Family. How much? You give it 5%? Now, third criterion, intellectual skills for communication, the language, understanding, listening, expressing, self-disclosure. These skills, could we understand one another? Could we have a positive communication together? Is he nagging all the time? Is he boring when he talks? We see. Communication skills and intellectual abilities. Someone come to me and tell me, I want my spouse to be very intellectual because I like intellectuality. Okay. He likes to speak about his own research, about the neurotransmitters in the antenna of the ant or of the fly. Nerve supply of the eye of the fly, how it relates to. Okay. And she would talk to him about her research in accounting or in politics. They like that, up to them. Okay. If they like that, fine. Of course, we'll see their personalities and their compatibility after that. Because if two dominant personalities will marry one another, it will be head-to-head collision every day. The fourth is emotional expression, ability to express emotions, affection, compassion, anger, negative emotions, and any mood disorders, and anxiety, depression, all is under that category. Social skills, the degree of sociability, introvert, extrovert, friends, look for the friends to know the type of the one you're going to join your life to. Look for self-control disorders, especially with the friends. Smoking, gambling, pornography, and others, especially spending money. Self-control disorders under social skills. If one is more extrovert than other, does it matter? If I like sociability and he or she doesn't like, okay, give her 2 out of 5. And if she'll take 45% in spiritual life, 2 is not a problem. After that, responsibility and reliability. Responsibility and reliability in the way they behave. Could I rely on him or her to be a dad or a mom to my children? Is he or she reliable? Is he or she responsible about their words and their behaviors? Is it known that that person is responsible? his father of confession is saying humbly about him, no, he is very responsible, talking very highly about him or her in that area of responsibility and reliability, which is a level of maturity. The criterion after that, what number now? What after responsibility as a criterion? Number what? The family, communication, emotional expression, social skills, responsibility, liability, and then you will add to what you have. Job stability, job and the career stability. Someone who's successful in his career, financially successful, and he is staying in his job for some time, not moving from one job to another, one job to another, is not changing his career. Job, career and job stability and financial stability is something important. You are not going to live only on love. You must have financial needs. And after that, this is the way we're talking about features and figure. How cute he is, how pretty she is, how tall he is, how tall she is, how much each one of them weigh, 90 pounds or less. And I am warning you, the third time I am warning you, if the man wants his girl to be between 90 and 100 max, tidhaku. Think twice or three times. And if you will ask Adam al Hikaji, all they say it. If you will tell him, just God forbid, if I will add 100 pounds to my weight, are you going to accept me? And if you will wait and think, don't marry him. Because most probably, he is on pornography. Most probably, he is on pornography. Because all the porn figures are mostly between 90 and 100 max. They are two sticks with projections. And there is no human being who could match with this. At the same time, if you see his or her eye, mostly his, looking all around, looking up and down, looking for other women, then be careful. Because as I told you other times before, I told others, pornography is a killer for marital life, which the majority now are involved in it. It's unholiness, which goes into a holy marriage. But of course, there are certain ways to quit this. So before marriage, at least, the father of confession, if you ask him in particular about your suspicion, and he will tell you no, it was over, then okay. But if you are suspicious, please be careful. So, the figure, diet could help a lot. Gastric bypass could help. Cosmetic surgery could help anyone. But there is no cosmetic surgery for the spirit inside. For the values and the principles, you can't go to a surgeon and tell him, change my principles, and they will give you $1,000. So, sometimes it's better for you to close your eyes and try to see what's inside that spouse to be. Close your eyes. and imagine what kind of jewels are in him or are in her. If you are so focused on the outside only, then most probably your mind is polluted. I remember someone who refused to join himself to a girl because one of her nostrils was wider than the other. Opening of the nose. One was wider than the other. I don't know how. This is a reality. He's so meticulous to the extent he's comparing the two nostrils to one another. Of course, good for her that he did not marry her. And then, starting from spiritual life, first criteria until now, we're getting into number 9. Spiritual life, family, until now. Now, physical disorders, diseases, like diabetes, endocrine diseases, neurological disorders, which could affect marital life. MS could affect multiple sclerosis. Sometimes it's hidden. And if he will not declare that before the marriage, before the wedding, it might lead to annulment. But if she will tell him, I have cancer, and he will tell her, so what? So, I could have cancer at any time. Are you going to leave me? Or am I going to leave you? We raise our hands for those couples. But the full consent must be given in front of the priest that he or she knows about certain diseases or certain disorders. And they're still agreeing. And of course, they have to go to a counselor to explain to them the full picture of that disease and the progress of the disease. The last issue, psycho-emotional disorders, like depression and anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, personality disorder, I hope not bipolar or schizophrenia. If any of these, you must be aware of it before you join your life to that partner, that spouse. And you write, you sign that you have known that and you are accepting. So you don't ask for annulment after that. And of course there are others. These are the criteria. Give 5% to any one of those 10. And there are others, of course. So count it again, spiritual life, 45%, 50%. And then the family, after that, communication skills, after that, emotional expression, social skills, responsibility and reliability, career and job stability, features and figure, physical disorder and diseases, psychiatric, psychoemotional disorders, and others, whatever you like. Put 5% for each and 50%, and then add these. And if the person you are going to join your life would be 75%, 80%, give to yourself a score too. Maybe she deserves 90 and you deserve 60. It's an estimate to join your life to her. So think and ask her, and she'll ask you about this scoring. Maybe she'll say, no, you are so hard on yourself. know, I gave you in that area such and such. So compare charts together and go to your father of confession, who is advising both of you about that process. And why I'm saying 5, 5, 5 and 50, because if any one of them, he or she will take 0. Don't be glued to that area and say no. It can't be. So that the whole score has to be over 75% to feel comfortable. So these are the criteria, and the guidelines from the keys, the four keys, is about the process of choosing a partner. How much could be the age difference? From 0 to 10. How about if it's 12? Okay? What's the best difference? And I'm saying different. I didn't say the man is older or the woman is older. Of course, both of you, maybe the older generation prefer the man to be older. Why? In order to be respected by the woman. If the man is so mature and he's younger than the woman by 2 years or 5 years, he's much more mature than her, okay? When's the best time to marry? Forget about that figure. That 23 years old for girls. Please forget about that. It doesn't matter, 23 or 32. But most girls, when they reach 29, they start to get depressed. Why, I don't know. Recently, in Los Angeles, a girl married at age 48. 48. Nothing wrong. So, God is the one who will choose the real partner for us, but we do our homework. We attend meetings and go into retreats, not to find the mate, but be exposed. Expose yourself. Because some, we have that fantasy. I will close on myself my room, I'm going to get out, and God will send to me my spouse. Be realistic. Go out normally. Go for church to pray, not to look for a partner. Go to the meeting, not to look for a spouse. Your work, you might interact with someone. And arranged wedding. Arranged wedding is not as successful as before. But it's not bad. If your friends will tell you, here is a good guy, and here is a good girl, why not to meet one another? Your friends, you say no. But if your parents tell you that, you say no, no, no. Why? Because you adore your friend and admire the opinion more than your parents? Be open. Each one coming to you, God sends him or her. Give a chance for everyone and think seriously. Guided by the four keys, as I told you, and the criteria. God bless you.